So this is your first checkpoint since Takadna.
Yeah.
Have you missed checkpoints, or is this part of your part of the fun for you?
I'm standard, not in checkpoints a lot. Actually, I've run. I did ride 12 times now, and this year is the first time I went to Squintna. So you know, normally I camp a lot. So I don't think. Basically, I don't like that you have. That you assume your dog team has to go from one checkpoint to another, because that's what you should go do, a 9-hour run or a 12-hour run or a 13-hour run. It's just, you don't have to do that. You can do whatever you want as long as you just carry, you know, 35 extra pounds with you, which in the scheme of the world, if your dogs are having trouble carrying 35 extra pounds, then I don't know. So that's my deal. I wanted to do some shorter runs than running from Takadna to Cripple. I thought that was too long of a run to go right after your 24 and just nail them with a long run. And then, so I don't know. So it seemed like, well, I should split it up a little. Well, how am I going to split it up? Well, two runs to Ruby, five runs to Caltech, three runs to Galena. So it split up nicely to 370s about that, and they were even mileage, they weren't even time, because the second and third leg took a little longer, when the first leg didn't take that long.
Watching you go through Ruby, it was you made some references to having at least one of your lead dogs being inexperienced on this trail, having never seen these places before. How's that going?
It's going well. They're actually both those leaders. They're experienced this year. They've done a lot this year, and even the one gray one did a lot last year, but on the southern route. So once we, actually I mentioned it to her, once we took a G out of Ophir, and I was like, that's right, you've never seen this trail. So I thought that was kind of neat, the whole northern up through these villages. Even here, they didn't get the concept of coming through the chute, which I thought was funny. That's normally kind of a very doggy concept, but there you go.
I know Alan has taken for one some relative, I mean, what in sled dog circles are pretty small dogs, like 40 pounders.
Yeah.
Do you sort of trend towards a smaller dog compared to like the 60 pound Baker dog model?
I don't know if we trend towards it, but it's what we have. It's just what we have. We don't breed that much. We have 2 yearlings in our yard and 8 puppies and 6 2-year-olds. And they are who they are, so we breed who we breed. They're really good dogs. They're really, really good dogs, but we don't breed 50 dogs and pick out the 10 best looking or whatever. We breed the very, very best to the very, very best, and we keep them, and we train them, and we educate them, and those are our dogs. So, yeah. So they're small. My team probably averages 44 pounds.
So if you're trying to sell that concept to somebody who thinks that all Iditarod dogs need to be big, strong 65 pounders, what are the benefits of or the special, you know, attributes of a 40 pounder?
You know, Alan is very, very, he likes our small dogs. He thinks they're the way to go. I just like our dogs, and they happen to be small. So I don't really care if people have small dogs or not. I don't. John's got some gorgeous-looking animals, and I would take a gorgeous 65-pound dog if that's what happened to be bred out of our kennel. Alan has the theory that they are basically like a Sherpa, and the Sherpa can carry 80 pounds up Mount Everest, and they're little guys who are scrawny, and they're pure muscle, and they've got athletic abilities that are. And when they go uphill, they don't get hurt, and they come down hills, they don't get hurt, and they just are strong but not big. And so for him, that's where it's at. But, you know, I don't know. We've bred there's some of these dogs here are out of Lance's Zorro, who is a 60 plus pound male. I mean, so our intentions weren't to get 40 pound dogs, but there they are.